You can turn in your Bibles to Luke 14. We're going to start in verse 1. Luke 14, verse 1. And again, we are... just to say real quickly, for those of you that are new, my name is Brian Fletcher. I'm the associate pastor here. Our senior pastor, Andrew Conrad, is preaching this morning at River Run out in Amelia. That's our newest church plant, which is going really well. And we just ask you continue to pray that people would continue to come and gather together out there and that church would grow. That's where Andrew is today. Luke 14, we're going to start in verse 1. And technically, I was only supposed to preach on the last parable here, but I feel like we really need to read. It's like one story. And so bear with me as we read a good portion of this chapter, because it starts at a dinner party. Who doesn't want to get invited to a dinner party? Who doesn't want to go to a party, right? We all love parties. So here we go. One Sabbath, when he, Jesus, went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. Now he told them a parable to those. He told a parable to those who were invited, when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you're invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person.' And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you're invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you'll be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." He said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." When one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, 'I've bought a field and I must go and sell it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I need to go and examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who are invited shall taste my banquet.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Fathers, we approach your word. We do it with great care. We do it in order to honor and glorify you. We thank you for these words. even though they can be quite challenging to us in our motives, in our hearts, and how we live our lives. So I pray, Lord, that we not only hear these words, but we begin to put them into practice by the Spirit that lives in us to live a life for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's recap, okay? So Jesus is invited to a dinner party at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, okay? And he was invited because they wanted to watch him closely, okay? So remember I said a few weeks ago that Jesus was troubling to the Jewish religious leaders because of the things he was teaching and the miracles that he was performing. And so as the party here is getting started, this man with dropsy shows up, uninvited. Now, dropsy is what we call today edema, which I didn't know what that was either, so I had to look it up. So it's a medical condition where the body accumulates excessive fluid in the body's tissues, and it makes the body swell up, and it's also a serious condition because it can affect vital organs. Okay, so this man is obviously in a very critical health condition. But Jesus knows the Pharisees are watching him carefully, and he asks them if it is lawful to heal on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees remain silent because according to their law, not the scriptures, but according to their law, it is unlawful to heal on the Sabbath. So Jesus heals the man. And then he goes on to call out the absurdity of saying that healing on the Sabbath is unlawful by telling them that if they had livestock that had fallen into a pit on the Sabbath, would they not pull it out? So Jesus' point is that it is not unlawful to heal on the Sabbath. It's actually compassionate and merciful. So then Jesus decides to tell parable number one, which I'll call, to those who were invited to the dinner party. You see, Jesus had been watching people as they came in to the party. And when they arrived, and he witnessed how they sort of jockeyed around for the most honored seats at the dinner party, at the table. And then he goes on to tell them that everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Okay? So he makes this very clear that pride leads to humiliation, and humility leads to exaltation. Again, Jesus doesn't hold back, does he? He is just pinging these guys for their false beliefs, for their pride and arrogance. And then Jesus tells a second parable. And this time it's to the ruler of the Pharisees who had invited him to the party. He tells him not to just invite friends and family and other wealthy people because they can repay him, but instead invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, because these people cannot repay you. So again, a similar message, humility, not pride, loving others over loving ourselves. But then someone interjects, and they make this statement, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." Now this man knows the scriptures. He knows that the scriptures teach that there will be a banquet feast at the resurrection when God finally ushers in the fullness of his kingdom. And we can go back to Isaiah 25, verse 6, that says this, "On this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined." So he knows, and we all know, there's going to be a big banquet. There's going to be a big party at the resurrection. So then Jesus tells a third parable, and he starts out, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many." Okay? Now this is the one I want to camp out on for a couple minutes. okay? This third parable. And by the way, spoiler alert, as we read this again, this parable is a beautiful illustration of the story of the gospel. So I want you to hear it that way. It's God's unmerited favor towards sinners and outcasts who are actually people like you and me. So let's read it one more time. We're going to read just this parable, not the whole passage. Let's read it one more time. But as I read, I want you to do a couple things, okay? I want you to, one, pick out the key characters. There's like four key characters here. Also, look out for idols of the heart that are expressed in outward ways. And then finally, look out for God's unmerited favor. Okay? So look out for those three things. So let me read it again. This is starting in verse 16. But Jesus said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I've bought a 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to the master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you've commanded has been done, and there's still room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and to the hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of these men, those men who are invited, shall taste my banquet.'" So who are the key characters? Okay? First, we've got the master of the banquet. Okay? And his heart, okay, think about where his heart. His heart is to have every seat at his party filled. Right? He doesn't want any seat to go not unused. He wants everybody to be there. And he's willing to invite anyone. Not just people that are like him, not just the wealthy, right? Not just his friends and family. He's willing to invite anyone to the party. So that's the first character. The second one are those who were initially invited. Okay? So they were invited, and then when it time came for the banquet to actually happen, they had all these lame excuses. Okay? So their hearts are centered around things that they have. They don't have time for the party, and they give some pretty pathetic excuses for not coming. So we've got master of the banquet, those who were initially invited. Then we have the servant. Okay? So he's just obeying his master. He willingly goes out and invites in all those that the master chooses. He just willingly obeys his master. And then finally, we have the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. These people, they didn't even know there was a party going on. They had no idea. Plus, society had cast them off. But they are happy to come and join in the festivities. They're happy to be there. I think that the point of this final parable here, which is connected to all the others, right? Because it's like party, 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 right? Pride, humility, all that stuff is going on. The point of the final parable is that God is going to have this massive banquet. He's going to have this huge party. And he's sending out his servants to invite people to come in and come join the party. Come and join the banquet. The banquet is free. There's no cost to get in. You don't have to buy a ticket. He just simply invites them in. He's giving the party so that the people can have the pure enjoyment of feasting with the master of the banquet. Right? So that's sort of the point of what's happening here. But again, you know, some people are just simply too busy to come, too busy with other things, even though they said they would. And then some simply need to hear that there is a banquet and they need to be invited. So the people who said they would come but don't come are like people who confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and call themselves Christians, but with their hearts and actions prove that they are not genuine believers. Remember how James puts it in the letter to James's letter in the New Testament? He says, faith without works is dead. Genuine faith in Christ will result in new desires to live for the glory of God. Genuine faith will not miss God's party for anything. You see, you may confess with your mouth, but don't forget, it's the heart, your heart that God is after. Philippians 3, 8 through 11, the Apostle Paul says this. He says this, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. The invited guests who didn't show up chose to save their life and their possessions rather than sacrificing them for Christ. And Paul's saying just the opposite in that Philippians passage. He counts all things lost for the sake of Christ, all his possessions as rubbish, that he may know Christ more deeply, more intimately. The others that were invited, the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, these people have probably never been invited to a party. Think about that. Maybe they have never been invited to a party, much less understand that God is going to throw the biggest party ever. You mean God's going to throw a party? Yes. And guess what? You're all invited to the party. And here's another thought for a second. Some people have never heard of Jesus. And you might say, like, how is that possible? Especially if you live in America, okay? Let's just think about our context for a moment. It's possible for several reasons. For one is because we live in what we call a post-Christian society, okay? So our society was once built on Christian values, but we've devolved into a humanistic, even an anti-Christian society in which there's hardly any belief that we were created in the image of God and for his glory. Okay? So that's one reason why some people have never heard of Jesus. We've just, our generation and in the last couple generations, we've just devolved into where people have no idea who Jesus is. Or, like, people may have heard the name Jesus, but they don't know the true biblical Jesus, right? I think that's a big problem for us as well. I think the church is to blame for some of it because many churches teach a false Jesus. But people have these misconceptions of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and they're not familiar with the Bible. Most people have never even opened a Bible. Think about that for a minute. Now, for you guys, you come here, we open the Bible every week. You're opening it throughout the week. But we're a very, very, very small, minute percentage of people in our culture that actually open the Bible and read it. So, how are they going to be invited to the party if they've never heard about Jesus? How are they going to get to know the master of the banquet? Well, one of the key characters in the story, even though he seems to be mentioned sort of in passing, is the servant. The servant is the connection between the master of the banquet and the guests who are invited. So he plays a really key role here. Without the servant going out with the invitation, then no one is going to know about the party. Okay, they didn't have email back then. They couldn't do an email blast through MailChimp or anything like that. Like, people had to be invited with an actual invitation, right? Either verbal or written down where someone would give it to them. I guess you know where I'm going with this, right? Maybe? Who is the servant? The servant is you and me. God is the master of the banquet. The outcasts are those who need to hear the gospel. And the servant is the one to go and share the gospel with those who are in need and invite them into the banquet. Now, the outcasts in this parable are not just literally the lame, the crippled, the poor, and the blind, okay? This group, I believe, because it's a parable representing things, represents every unbeliever that doesn't know Jesus yet. Because without a relationship with God through Jesus, then we're all blind, poor, lame, and crippled. Spiritually, the prophet Isaiah spoke in a similar way. He says this, The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, for the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For the waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Jesus quotes Isaiah 61 in the New Testament when he says this. He says these verses are about him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And we know that Jesus, yes, Jesus had a huge heart, a massive heart for the poor, for those who were sick. But he knows that it's not just physical sickness that we have. It's not just physical lameness and blindness, but we are blind to the grace of God because of our sin. We are sick because of our rebellion against God. Jesus was healing people physically, but he was also healing people spiritually. He says this at the beginning of his ministry when he gives the Sermon on the Mount and speaks the famous words from the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You see, both Christians and non-Christians desperately need the gospel. However, the strategy that Jesus has chosen is for his Christ followers, his servants, to go out and share the gospel with those who have yet to believe. We are servants of God the Father, made holy and righteous by God the Son, and indwelt with God the Holy Spirit. Our service is to love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. So our outward mission is motivated and sustained by the inward power of Christ living in us. So how do I invite someone to the party? Or how do I share the gospel with someone? Here's some things to think about. First of all, build a friendship with them. A genuine relationship is the foundation of sharing our hearts with anyone. It's that simple. Just become friends with people. Live a life of authenticity before them. This is where you get to showcase your faults, your shortcomings, and your sins. You're not perfect, so don't pretend to be perfect. That's why you need Jesus, just like they do. Share your own story of coming to faith in Christ. People love to hear about your life. They love to hear about, especially once you're friends. Don't you want to know? Ask them. Get to know them more. But share your story. Tell them how Christ has changed and transformed your life. Fourth, ask them if they want to know more about who Jesus is. Just ask them. You don't know until you ask. Ask them if they want to know more about Jesus or about who God is or what the Bible has to say about life. They might end up being quite interested, especially if they've never even read the Bible or opened one. They're like, I've heard all this stuff, but can you share a little bit more? Because I really don't know. Then share with them clearly that they were created in the image of God. You know, they were created in the image of a loving creator, a God who loves them more deeply than they could ever imagine. I'm sure they don't know that. And he created them in his image so that they might have a relationship with him. That they've been living a life outside of that relationship and it will have disastrous consequences. But also share with them that they can live in that relationship by putting their faith in Jesus, who died to pay for their sins and their rebellion against God, and then pray with them. And then lastly, just simply begin to show them how to follow Jesus and how to understand the scriptures. It's really that easy. Become friends with someone. Live a life that's authentically repentive and loving other people. Share the message of the gospel and then help them to learn how to understand it and follow Christ. Let's finish with this. If you already know about the party, then don't just plan to attend, make sure you go. But here's the thing, don't go alone. Don't go alone. Take your friends with you. Start inviting others to go with you. A few weeks ago, there was a big party here in Richmond. And the party was for folks who don't normally get invited to parties. The party was for those who knew the master of the banquet, but it was also for those who didn't know the master of the banquet yet. And I'm sure that some who had been to the party before, because they've put on this party before, I'm sure that they invited other people, because the party was so amazing, that they invited their friends who had not yet attended to come and celebrate. Let's take a quick look at a summary of the party. People in your life need to hear God's unmerited favor towards them. I think this is a taste of heaven and what the party is going to be like. So invite a friend. Let's pray. Jesus, you've invited us to your party. That you've paid the ticket. You've paid the price for us to be there. Left to our own devices, we're not worthy to join your party and to celebrate. But because you died for us and given us new hearts and a new life, you want to celebrate with that, with us. The biggest party ever. Lord, for those of us who know you intimately and deeply and personally, we're already excited for the party. We know, we've tasted it. But our friends, they've not tasted it yet. And they need to hear, they need to be invited. They need to know that they are unconditionally loved. And that Jesus has come to give them a new life. So we pray, give us the courage and the boldness to do just that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.